Good morning. Good to have each one of you here today as we start our revivals for a week. Today's Sunday school lesson is taken from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 11. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 11, and it's entitled Spiritual Gifts. After the reading and the prayer, we'll sing a song, and then all the children, 12 and under, can go downstairs to their classes downstairs. And the rest of us will stay up here in the main auditorium for the lesson up here then. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But to all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severely as he will. Okay, at this time, all who are able, let's kneel for prayer. I had to think about the words of that song and what each of us just said as we sang that song there. That's quite a challenging song there. Appreciated that. Thank you, Matt. Okay, so today we have someone with us that we all know, and be honest with you, and his family have been in our prayers and our thoughts for the last couple weeks. Brother Derek Miller from Mumertz is going to have our Sunday school lesson today. So, and as I thought about Derek's response, when you call somebody to teach, you kind of get some hesitation, but he was very willing to teach, and I'm thankful for that. And then also, a little over 2 weeks ago, after their fire, I called because it's kind of every person has to get somebody for responsibilities nightmare. You might lose that person at the last minute. And I called him to see if he was still willing to teach, and he was very willing to teach still. So I just was encouraged by that and his thoughts of wanting God to speak through him. So at this time, we'll give our attention to Brother Derek as he teaches.
Well, greetings to all of you. Come to you this morning with the joy of the Lord. And while that can sometimes be said a little bit lightly, it is with utmost sincerity that while you may think just from hearing some of the past happenings in our life that things are chaotic, I will give all the credit to God, but a lot of credit to how he has worked through our friends and family in our lives recently to just allow me to be here this morning with a clear mind, with a smile, with clothes to wear. They're not mine. I didn't necessarily want to come up here and share things about myself and you know, specifically involving this past 2 weeks, because I think there's a lot to be able to take from the lesson today, and I'm excited to allow God to speak in what he has shared with me in that. But one resounding lesson that I've learned, or God brought to my attention in losing many of my own things. It's nothing compared to what some people lose. And, you know, I could compare myself to Job. It's nothing compared to what he lost. But as I thought of how little I had to offer in the moments, a few days after our house burnt, I had to face the reality of whether I was enough for my family. Whether who God made me currently, as I was, if I was enough to meet their needs. And I'm not saying I'm perfectly there, but I was at peace even before it happened, as oddly as that sounds, where God had been directing me in my life. And it has allowed me to be relieved of many of the pains that would come from an occurrence like that in my life. But so keep a smile on your face. I love to see your smiles this morning. We are in good hands. God has provided really all of our needs through all of this. We are simply wanting nothing at this moment other than what we can come and learn this morning. So if you turn to 1 Corinthians 12, you may already be there. I have a few simple questions. So who is speaking here in 1 Corinthians? Okay. And who is he speaking to? Okay. Now, maybe it's a little bit of a harder question if somebody wants to try to explain it. Like, why would you say he was speaking to them? Okay. And if we read the very first verse there in chapter 12, it says, "Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And we can easily, you know, you think of that word, and most of us are experienced in our years in one way, shape, or form. So we often think of the younger people, like, oh, they're kind of ignorant in that. They don't know what they are doing. They don't have experience like we do. Yet he wasn't talking to little children. He was talking to you could just say people who knew better. Because in the following verse, it says, "Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." So Paul was addressing a noticeable issue that they were having. And he was saying, this is what we got to figure out here concerning the spiritual gifts that you are given. And right now, you haven't been living in a way that you can accept these gifts, that you can be used through the gifts that God can manifest in your lives. And I kindly ask all of you to, and I had to do this myself as I study it, just take the humble road for a moment and say, okay, I have something to learn from this passage today. Because no matter where we are in our journey, whether it's on the mountaintop as you speak, or maybe you're going through that valley portion of, that testing period, we can always learn a little bit more. We can always say, God, use me in a new way. Bring something or somebody into my life that I can minister to. And if we can put ourselves in that accepting position, God is just right there ready to fill that. And he wants to use us in a way that even we don't understand, because I'm fairly young yet, but I've tried to do a lot of things on my own, and it fails more than I succeed, it seems like. And I've just been learning a lot lately about just giving God the reins to let him guide me. If we could turn back a few chapters, chapter 9 is an area I'm going to touch on it a little bit, and I'm not sure if you guys follow in verses in concession. So this probably got taught on a few weeks back, but I always enjoy going behind where I'm teaching, just to see the lay of the land, you know, know what was going on. And when I read chapter 9, I was like, wow, Paul is thinking ahead. Because if you look at verse 19, 20, and 21 of chapter 9, I might read it at some point, but to put it into context, we see Paul is explaining how he effectively ministers to others. And one word that he uses is servant. So he says that I make myself a servant to others, and in some of my own words, so that he would be of a service to them. Maybe I'll use one of my own personal stories. Our fire happened on about 2:30 in the afternoon on a Friday. Saturday morning, if it wasn't for the burnt house that you could see from the road, you might have thought there was a wedding going on, because there was vehicles lined the driveway. And I had somehow held it together up until that point. But when certain people, I was grateful for everybody, but when certain people popped up in my line of sight, I was like, what are you doing here? Like, you came from this far. You know, I didn't know you cared about me this much. Like, it was, let's just say the reason they came is they felt that service. They saw a need, and it was very obvious. Yet, not all needs are so obvious, and we have to go about them, those types of needs that aren't obvious, in much different ways. People were able to just show up with gloves and muscles and just helpful spirits because they could see what needed done. But when you can't see the emotional things and the things that are just not obvious, I think Paul is kind of, if you read what he does, how he's speaking in this part of chapter 9, he's going much deeper than the visual things. He's saying, I can be a servant to people. It says in Scripture, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And it says, unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. And in verse 21, to them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. And I just see a picture of somebody who was willing to take the time to get to know somebody. Because sure, people came and helped me clean up my house, but there was also people who reached out, hey, praying for you here. They thought of something that maybe wasn't as obvious. And I was like, wow, like, you thought of me in that way and at this moment. And I was humbled because I quickly realized how little I actually cared for other people in comparison. I was like, you know, it's easy to react to big problems. And it's easy to just think, well, this is my gift, you know. I'll say his name out loud, Nehemiah Lachman. He was, him and a few, and several others, Andy was there, just some people that I can see sitting here, got up on the house roof and reframed the house roof in less than a day's time. I mean, they used a skill that they had, and believe me, being a builder, I wanted to be right up there with them, but it wasn't quite my place to be at that point in time. So there were skills of so many people in so many various ways that, quite frankly, when Nathan asked me if I still wanted to teach this, I was like, I can't not teach this lesson. I can't not share the actual ways God has shown our churches in the past couple of weeks that we can work together in a very obvious way. And I want to tell you this morning that my main focus isn't that obvious way, even though we all know what it is. It's the not obvious ways. So I want to bring you guys into that feeling right now, because that's what I'm feeling, is to try to think of others in the not obvious ways. So that's what Paul's doing. He's being a servant. He's He's lowering himself, the you know, what you might, people might think was his value. You know, my value is I'm a construction guy. You might think my best gift is that, but that's not the only way God wants to use me or wants to use you. We have to let ourselves be used in ways that we may not think we're fully capable or think that that we should be used, because God has greater plans. So I shared this. Let me back that up. It's obvious. It's obvious that Paul found the importance of recognizing the needs of people where they are at, and he was patient enough to see and hear their needs. And the one resounding challenge I wanted to make was, if you read farther in verses 22 and 23 of chapter 9, is that he says, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. And I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." Paul wasn't doing it for recognition. He didn't want any of this to be reflected on his own personal reputation. He was doing it for the gospel's sake. He was doing it specifically because he was hoping and praying that people would be moved by the Holy Spirit, not by his own acts. So it takes one's self to be in a position of humility to be used, like I was saying, not really in a manner that you think you're capable of, but going letting God use you beyond that, because it could be something completely new to you and not exactly comfortable. I don't necessarily get uncomfortable when I come up to places like this, but it's almost more uncomfortable thinking about it, you know, until I get here. But you guys are very, you know, relaxing to talk to. So I just marvel at the way Paul is, prior to chapter 12, really just giving us this playbook. You know, he's setting up a way that, especially us, you know, the Corinthians didn't necessarily see this, you know. We get to go, I mean, I feel like I put it together. I was like, jump back, look at that. That's exactly how Paul did it. He's a great example. It helped piece that together for me. So, as it said in verse 2 of chapter 12, that they were drawn away, they were carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. And in a moment's reflection, where do each one of us find ourselves this morning? In a group this size, I can undoubtedly say that there's going to be a mixture of people feeling led by the Spirit this morning and those who feel like they've been led astray and they're trying to find a way back. They're, you know, you're not sure what the next step needs to be, because even when I've gone through those highs and lows, when you hit that low, all of a sudden you're in that high and you think, well, I'm never going to leave it. This is going to be forever. And then suddenly the next test, the next difficulty comes along, and you feel a little bit jumbled and confused. And it's a process of growing closer to God in that. But that's where many of them were in that moment. They were led away and not sure of how God wanted to use them anymore. And I wasn't saying that as a statement of judgment on anybody, or that anybody should judge their brother or sister, because it's common. We know that in our spiritual journey, there's going to be highs and lows. And as we get a little bit farther along here, it's going to really show us, Paul's going to really show us how important these gifts are so that we can help each other through those highs and lows. Was there any thought or input that anybody had? So if we once again look at chapter 9, I just couldn't stop myself, so we're going to end up going the whole way to the end of the chapter there, because it just, I was enjoying it that much. So verses 24 through 27, I'm a little bit of a sports guy, so I called it his pregame pep talk. And it says, "Know ye not that ye which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away." So in the race that Paul is describing, there's a purpose for running it. He's telling us, like, you run it to win it. Don't be shy. He's like, you're supposed to be striving to win that race. Don't beat at the air. Don't do it without prior training. I mean, it's like, I kind of read this little example. It's like, sending somebody in to box somebody who has no experience whatsoever. That's what they're going to be doing. They're going to be beating the air because they'll never touch the person. That person who's experienced, their opponent, will just duck, juke, and be all around them. And that, it would probably look like me if I were boxing somebody. And so what I gained from that was simply, you go to start this race, you're going to have to train yourself. Danielle and I, back before three kids invaded our lives, we like to run a lot. and even a little bit afterwards. I can't believe, I don't know, I wouldn't suggest pushing strollers with children. That's just tough. But it certainly prepared me for, running a little bit better in other cases. But you have to train yourself. And this past January, while I was down in Alabama doing prison ministry week, I heard a testimony of a younger fellow. I say younger, and I think he was actually right about my age. So I guess I should, try a little harder. But he runs 100-mile races. Yes, 100-mile races. When he told me how fast he does them, I was like, I don't know what kind of alien you are, but he could run them in 13 hours. And once upon a time, I did a half marathon. It took me a little bit over 2 hours, so I'll just let you do the math. But something interesting that he ended up talking about was one time his dad asked him, "Hey, why don't you carry a phone, to like track your distance and all the different things that phones can track when you're running?" And they got to talking about it, and he's like, well, he did the math. So he took the amount of steps that he takes during this race, which I think he said it was like 150,000. And if you take that many steps and multiply the weight of the phone, each time you're running, wherever you have it on your body, you're technically lifting it at some point. And he said, if you add that all together in the entire race, and I didn't necessarily do the calculation myself, but he said that it would be like the equivalent of pulling a logging truck behind you in that whole combination of weight. And when he shared his testimony and shared that, you can kind of guess where he's going with that. We let small sins beset us. We let the fact that maybe we don't train ourselves right to hold us back. We don't prepare ourselves for the trials that come our way. We don't allow God to work in us in ways that he can. And we keep these little roadblocks, like how heavy a phone really would be, you know, just a few ounces, you know, several ounces type of thing, or it all adds up. So when you look at verse 27, and it says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I've read this verse many times before, but then things in life happen and you suddenly go, that means a whole lot more now. When I suddenly saw how he said, bring it into subjection, there's been recent times in my life where I've really had to focus on doing that exact thing. And instead of just kind of floating along, allowing myself to carry a little bit of extra weight because I'm like, well, I can just try a little harder. I can pull this weight. Instead, Paul's saying, you know, if you keep your body and bring it under subjection, or put it under intense training, if you could call it that, you will have yourself prepared. And he says, when I have preached to others that I myself should be a castaway, when you prepare yourself in that way, then you're going to allow God to come in and take away that besetting sin so that it no longer holds you down. As I was preparing this yesterday, I spent a nice amount of time with my parents. They had come out to just help us with some things, and my mom shared a passage with me. It was from James 1:17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And yeah, she knew I was going to teach on this lesson, so I know why she chose that as an encouragement to me, because we have to see these gifts that we're going to read here, we have to see them as blessings. It's easy to look at this list of gifts and just go, I just don't fit into that one, or that one's just too much for me to handle. Since when are we the ones who can tell God what he can do? Since when? I mean, we see that in the Bible when some say, you know, well, I can't do that. I'm not capable of it. I found that verse very applicable and a little bit thought provoking as I read through it this morning. So one of the questions thought of today was just how do you see yourself in relation to the spiritual gifts? If you look at verse 12 or chapter 12, and we start to read down through, like I was saying, you know, some of them we feel like we can apply to ourselves rather quickly. I could name people who I think fit into those categories pretty quickly. But as we go down farther, are we believing in each way that God can, as it says in verse 7, manifest the Spirit into each person? If we step back and look at verses 3, 4, and 5, I mentioned about just putting ourselves in that position of accepting what God is offering through this. And in verses three, I feel like Paul is kind of telling them that. Maybe somebody can share their thoughts on it, but it says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed." He's saying if you're in the right place in relationship with God, you're not going to be accusing God of anything. You're not going to be bitter with God about something, because it says, "And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." So we're not even going to recognize God for who he is without that Spirit in us. We're not going to be able to love and care and be a servant to others in the true way that God wants us to when we ourselves aren't in that right relationship with him. And I say that with utmost sincerity in my own walk, that I've realized how I've limited God's power in my life and how I can do so much more only through him once I have given up my own desires. Were there any thoughts or... Yes. Yes.
That's an underlying tone.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for sharing that point, because it was something I remember reading in some studies that it. Yeah, there's a competition going on, but it's not to beat that other person. It's to win them. So it's a little bit related to sports, but a much different at the same time. So as I thought of not just this church, but my church and, the church I grew up at White Oak, there's a lot of people involved in that thought. There is so much potential when I think of all those people. There's so much that we can do. And when you look at verses 6, and it says, "And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." And it says in verse 7, I think I missed verse 5, it says that there's differences of administration, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And, I saw that in the past couple of weeks. I mean, there was people I saw come to my house from this church, from Mummert's, from White Oak, from even a few other surrounding churches that I'm not necessarily connected to, but they were friends. So it's a much different manner, like I was saying. That's a very obvious way of a gift that you can offer, and these are things that are going to be manifested in you to like was shared. Be enacted in somebody's life to then not beat them into submission, but to win them over. So I need much more than a house to live in. People could build me a house and then say, "Well, hey, now you got a place to live, you're good to go." But like I was saying this morning, that's not exactly the point that God was giving me in the past couple of weeks. He was saying, is your house in here enough? Is the relationship you have with God and what you have to offer emotionally and spiritually to your wife and children, is that enough? So when I looked at these spiritual gifts, I wanted them all. was like, hey, I want to be able to do all of these things for my family right now. And I know I wouldn't be able to do that for each and every person, but see how it said the diversities and the differences of ministration. When I thought of everybody, I was like, wow. If we all just say, God, show me what you can do through me. He's saying that he gives the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And then it goes down to the list and it's saying that as we work together in using those gifts, it's going to influence each one of us. And I see it as kind of like a tree growing. The end result is that fruit. You know, we want to bring others to salvation, but it starts with a seed, and that seed is each one of us. And that seed has to grow. So if we want that seed to grow, that means you have to encourage him, she has to encourage her, and vice versa, the whole way through until this tree actually can grow and produce that desirable thing that people say, oh, like my wife and I were talking this morning, and the Bible talks about being a peculiar person, but I don't think it means it in a way that people are going to be like, no, I don't want to do anything with them. We want ourselves to be acting in a way that shows God's love and that people will desire to follow in that Holy Spirit as it's working through each one of us. There's another verse. It's actually in Lamentations. Lamentations 3:22-23. And I share this because there's a gentleman down in Alabama. I get a lot of encouragement there. Those ministry weeks are pretty awesome between the prisons and then just amongst each other. He actually sings a song about this verse. Lamentations 3:22-23. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So it doesn't matter what time of the day you see him, he'll go, good morning. And we're, huh? And he said, well, it says God's mercies are new every morning. So I'm going to say good morning any time of the day, because he desires those mercies. He knows that without those mercies, we're going to be consumed. And when I look at the gifts of the spiritual gifts, it would not be without God's mercies that I could even begin to accept his power to work in me to do them to others in the way that they're said, to use the wisdom and the knowledge and to be strong in my faith. Simply seeing those who are strong in their faith through trying times is the kind of way that God will use that spiritual gift. And There's been little moments where God's, in my life, God has spoken through people to, come to me and speaking in my life in a way that I wasn't even, asking them. I didn't tell them what I was having a difficult time with. But through God's Spirit, he spoke to them, and they were able to encourage me. And it, I know that's not interpreting or, you know, using tongues, but I feel like it can easily be applied as one of the gifts of the Spirit. The one encouragement I wanted to point out is that as the whole group of the church strives together in these spiritual gifts, it can easily kind of look like a bunch of notes spread across a sheet, you know, a little bit chaotic. And if you know, I'm not a musician, but if you tried to play those notes, if you could, it wouldn't make sense. But when those notes come together in the correct way, that is when it actually makes the beautiful music. And my encouragement to you all is that if you take time to service each other's needs, that the gifts of the Spirit will come together to form that good and perfect gift that can then be used to grow the fruit outside the church and bring those people in who are in need of his salvation. So I thank you for listening, and blessings to you in your day.